Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to the Judy Joy Jones Show. So happy to have everyone with us today. We are delighted to have Stéphane Maillars, a composer from Belgium, who is back with us. Stéphane was with us several months ago, and his beautiful Judy Joy Jones Show theme starts our show often. And we will play that later on during the show. Everyone, I want you to know that we are lucky because today Stéphane is going to be introducing his latest CD, Belgium Loft and Lounge. And we, what you just heard opening the show is Exodus, and that is one of the pieces off of Belgium Loft and Lounge. Stéphane's whole little bio is on the introduction page of the show. You can read more about him. We are very, very fortunate that he has brought with him a friend, Robert Singerman. And Robert is the director of French and European music offices. And he actually helps develop artists manifesting their visions into reality, and I'm so excited for him to be on the show with Stéphane. Stéphane has won many contests. He's just done remarkably well for being what he is in Belgium, which is actually quite famous. And I am going to bring him up right now and let him explain a bit more about his latest CD and also tell you a little bit more about his bio, his background, and let me bring him. Hello, Stéphane. Hello. Okay, let me see. Hello.
Hello.
Is that
hello.
You? Hello.
Yes, hello, Judy.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Well,
I just heard your introduction. Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you that I can be in your show today.
Well, we're just delighted. And the piece that you just heard, obviously, you know that is Exodus from your...
Yes, it's one of the compositions on my new recording project, let's say. And, well, it's a very massive, powerful, energetic, pulsive piece with, you know, imaging of a lot of people going to where somewhere you don't know the destination, but you know this feeling of being together with other people and going to somewhere. That's what this people want. That is what this piece want to bring out.
Oh, it does. That's why I picked it as the beginning. It had so much energy, and I just felt like I was running down the street, getting everybody.
But later on in the piece, there is very, a very romantic episode, in this whole overwhelming exodus, there's this image of two persons who are, let's say, in love with each other, and you have this very intimate line of melodic line, and then it goes back to the climax on the end. So there is a romantic intermezzo, let's say.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would love for you to give a little more in-depth bio about yourself for the people that didn't hear you before on our show, and just a little briefly how you started becoming a composer, or were you born into a family of musicians, or...
Well, I come from a family, not musical family. I don't know where I got it, but I knew always that I wanted to be a musician from my birth on, I think.
Okay.
So I started to search for possibilities to be in touch with music, and there was this magic moment when my father came home with a piano. He got a piano from a friend, and then I started to play piano. I couldn't read notes, but slowly I find my way how to, to express myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started music school, everything. I started to compose. I think my first composition was at age 10. So it was very early. I had a big desire to write music, actually, already. I had this desire. And then I went to, higher education. I went for piano. I went for composition, chamber music, direction, to conduct orchestra and choir.
Right.
So it's a lot of things, and after I finished my education, I went for some master classes. I could immediately go to teach, so I was never without work, let's say. And to compose is one of my favorite things, what I can do as a musician, because it's so pure, it's the highest creativity, what you can imagine, from nothing to make something. And to be, original in this, it's a huge task these days.
Yes, I can. Do you actually compose on a daily basis, Stefan, or is it?
Well, yes. If you say that music is always in your mind, then yes, because I'm 24 hours in with my mind in music, and even I don't write things down on paper. There is always this translation, let's say, from the reality in music. So everything has a musical dimension. The whole life has a musical dimension, and sometimes it needs to digest, how you say, yes. And then I write things down, and everything what I write, my music is one big, diary about what happens in my life, the people I meet, the things,
mm-hmm.
what's going on, everything. So if you listen to my pieces, you listen actually to my life.
You know, your Portrait of a Composer CDs, which
yeah.
you had sent me, I still listen to them, and they're just brilliant. I can't get enough of them. I enjoy them so much. And I know that when I ask you to compose, just a very brief segment for the Judy Joy Jones Show theme, you did it very rapidly. I mean, you're fast in composing, evidently.
Yeah, because when I listen to your show, it's the same story again. Then I have, this musical translation, what I hear, what is your show about,
mm-hmm.
what kind of person you are. We had a talk together. All these things, they make a kind of image about...
Okay.
What I want to express, and finally it comes out, and then it comes out in music, in notes, let's say.
Now, are you, I know after you were on my show,
yes.
you had gotten a record label. Is that correct? Lucky Bean
well,
Becker.
Yes. The portrait CD which you mentioned, that's the second portrait. I made two portrait CDs.
Oh.
And the first one I got because I won the Belgium Composition Prize.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a Belgian record label called Fedra. And Fedra, they have a series called In Flanders Fields. It's a very popular series. They distribute this series around the world, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
And after completing this first one, it was a kind of, you know, I wrote pieces during 5 years, and what I show there is just a fraction of it. Let's say it gives a portrait of what I did in that 5 years. And then the next 5 years, the following 5 years, I wrote again music. So I thought, well, it would be nice to make it a second portrait CD. But, you know, it's not so easy to make a CD. And then I had a very good friend, Mark Bohoots. He lives close to me, and he's a fan of my music, and he's a wonderful person. And he came up with the idea to support the CD. And he had another friend, Luc Thijs. And so these two guys helped me to make the second portrait CD.
Oh.
So I made the second portrait CD again with the Fedra record label. And then Luc Thijs, the second guy, he loves so much lounge music. But lounge, if you speak about lounge music, it's dangerous to speak about lounge music because it's so broad. It's, you know, it's like you speak about classical music. What is classical music? Is it
yes.
is it baroque music? Is it contemporary music? And so on. So, but he, you know, he challenged me to do something with my, you know, with my background as a classical composer, classical concert pianist, and so on. So I tried to make a cocktail from flavors, from influences, from things what I experienced during my artistic life, during my personal life, and so on. So I brought together music, let's say, from world music, jazz, classical music as well, and especially also the film music, because generally my music is very cinematic. I'm a very visual orientated person, so when I write music, I see images. So this is something what also is very clear in my music. So I brought it together in one language, let's say, and under the title of lounge. It's accessible music, but it's also sophisticated, I think. If you listen it for the first time, you say, oh, that's nice. But if you listen for the second time,
yes.
say, oh, there's a layer which I didn't discover the first time,
yes.
and so on and so on. So there is a depth in the music, which I hope that people will appreciate when they listen to the music.
When they listen to I know one of the pieces on your other CD that you sent me, Katrina, about the hurricane, it just
yes.
was amazing. I mean, I could see your music easily in film. I believe your music is for film in many ways, and perhaps that's on the near horizon for you. I hope that is, because...
Well, that's why I call it also... this is what you mentioned, Belgium Loft and Lounge. It's a CD which I made, but I would like to speak more about the recording project, because I don't want to close doors here in this project, because it's you can make a final recording of it, you can press the CD and so on. But I thought that it would be wonderful to try to get people listening to the music, and it would be wonderful if the music could fit also in the, you know, in the film industry or so. That's
yeah.
what I'm looking for a little bit this moment.
And what I'm hoping and looking for is when you come and tour the United States, and I will actually get to sit and listen to you in person. I'm looking forward to that. I feel like, you know, when I'm listening to a person in person, you know, I'm right there next to them. It's a much different experience, and I look forward to that. And I would love to go ahead, if it's all right with you, Stefan, and bring up Robert Singerman.
Oh, that's great.
All right. Let's see. I think... Hello? Oops, it's not wanting to wake up. Let me try one more time.
Hello.
Hello. Mr. Singerman?
I'm online. Can you hear me?
I certainly can. How are you?
Hi, Robert.
Great. Hi, Stefan. How are you doing?
I'm fine. You are on the other side of the world, no?
I'm exactly on the other side of the world in Sydney, Australia, yes.
And I'm in the middle. Belgium is in the middle between between America and Australia. That's fantastic, really.
I'm heading back to the West Coast, where Judy is, in a few hours after a 2 or 3 week trip in Australia, and I was also in Hong Kong and Japan.
Wow. And did you see a lot of kangaroos there?
Only statues.
Only statues.
I've been working too hard. It's been fun, but I've been working hard here. So.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yep. Yeah, well, you'll love coming back to the West Coast. I'm in San Francisco. It's gorgeous. So I think you'll... Are you going to L.A.? You must be going to the L.A.
I'm going to L.A. and I have about a day. I think I'll go to the beach. And then I leave L.A. in the evening and go back to New York, where
oh,
I live.
Good for you. Oh, good. Go to the beach. You know, I did a very brief intro on you, and you're welcome to give a little more information about yourself if you would like. It's up to you, Robert. I couldn't find a lot or how to condense it exactly.
No problem. Actually, I've been in the music business since 1978. Long time, and worked with lots of incredible artists. The last 5 years, until the end of December, I was running the French Music Export Office in the United States and Canada, North America, and the European Music Office was a project in about 3.5 of those 5 years. I actually finished those roles at the end of the year. I'm not doing that any longer, really to work on a new project which came out of that, which is It's for lyrics to be translated across language in real time with the music, so that basically we can all understand each other's songs across language barriers. So that's what I'm focused on now. That's what I'm working on now. You know, Stefan called me. I really love his music, and I'm happy to help anytime for him anywhere that I possibly can. I helped a bit in New York, and we met, and you know, generally the musics that I've worked with have not been classical music. I've used classical music a little bit in film projects and played some classical music here and there in different projects, but generally the music I've worked with has been jazz, rock, world music. I was the American manager of the Gypsy Kings. I brought in, I worked with Fela Kuti and King Sunny Ade, and I worked with R.E.M. at the beginning of their career, Beastie Boys at the very beginning of their career, lots of different kinds of music from all over the world. And one of the things that I always, well, when I took these positions, the main issue for me wasn't really specifically import-export, because that's what I've been doing my whole career. That's kind of simple. We did a good job with the French music. We doubled the number of productions of French-produced artists performing in America every year. Last year, America was the number two country to France for sales of music produced in France. So, but you know, so it was, you know, we did all we could, but for me it was important for music sung in French to also be sold in America, and for music sung in French to be actually understood by Americans who don't speak French. It was funny, Stefan mentioned the word translation a couple of times in terms of his, in essence, translating what's in his mind into, you know, a perspective that comes through in the music that other people can appreciate. And that's what I'm trying to do with lyrics, where it's more direct in a sense than the kind of subconscious understanding or conscious understanding without language with lyrics, so that There will be a user-generated, crowdsourced translation database for lyrics so that basically everybody can contribute to their favorite songwriters. And then you can aggregate the translations. So the translations are actually much better than any translation because they come from the perspective and a collaborative sense of many people, like a Wikipedia. And then they're served in real time with the music by different means, metadata means, working with a company near you called Grace Note, other companies that I'm working with that have technologies that can serve lyrics on CD Plus that can show up to 8 languages on a CD Plus or digital information live, et cetera. So that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm up to.
That's true. Well, now, have you heard Stefan's Belgium Loft and Lounge CD?
I've reviewed what I can over the internet, and it's
just
a beautiful record. I haven't actually had a copy of it yet. It's waiting for me in my office when I get back, which I'm excited about.
Because
I've been gone. Yeah, so you know, I've heard it. It's a beautiful record, and you know, for him, it's I think it's at the challenge of his friend, as he said, it's also a ways and a means to connect to a larger audience than is traditionally the audience for what would be considered, although it's a strange category, you know, what would be considered classical music or contemporary classical music. So it's going to be an interesting learning experience, but also an interesting revelation to see how it goes also in the marketplace and how he actually promotes and markets on the business side this CD as distinct from his previous CDs.
What is funny that Robert and I, you know how we met each other?
How?
You know how small the world is. I come from a small village in the north of Belgium, and Belgium is very small already, but I come from a very small village. 10,000 people live there. And there is a person, Steph Koenigs, and he is a friend of me, a very close friend. He became director of the Flemish Music Center, and he does a lot of beautiful things in promoting Belgian music and so on. Mm-hmm. And, I think you are hanging up good with each other, no, Robert?
Oh, yeah, Steph is a phenomenal guy. He works really hard for all kinds of music from Flanders. He runs the Music Information Council. He's on the International Music Council. He's a brilliant, passionate person, a really, really nice man. And he recommended I listen to Stefan and see if I could assist. He was a platform member of the European Music Office. I said, absolutely. So I worked with the embassy and consulate folks in New York and D.C. The time that Stefan was able to come to New York, and really helped with logistics and promotion, publicity, you know, did what I could to assist, and the concert was sold out, and it was a very successful event.
Yes, it was really great. I have so good memories.
It was the introduction of Steph, and he even introduced me to one of his colleagues here in Sydney, who I met, who's the president of the International Music Council this week. So, you know, we still keep in touch all the time. He introduced me to a group called Scala Choir recently, and I helped them in New York and met them. Great guys. So, yeah.
Is Sydney, it's funny, I just written Stefan a note about Australia. Now, classical music is basically quite good there, is it not?
It is. The Sydney Philharmonic. I was at the Sydney Conservatory yesterday. I was up in the Brisbane, Queensland Conservatorium.
Yes.
Classical music scene here is good. The orchestras here are some of the best in the world.
Yes.
And the whole conservatorium, there's a conservatory in every major city, which is unusual, at least for the U.S. I had the pleasure of going to this incredible studio that it's owned by a guy. It's called Trackdown, I believe, and it's in the Fox lot, the big Fox studio lot. Rupert Murdoch is from Australia. This studio holds probably 4 orchestras. It's the biggest studio I've ever seen.
Christ.
It's quite amazing. they produced Australia there, and I had the pleasure of meeting a woman who was the singer on some of the songs, and she wrote some of the music, and I met the music editor of the movie Australia, and just it was really an interesting evening to see this incredible studio. Yeah, they told me a little bit about the Sydney classical music scene, as did the people I met up in Queensland and Brisbane.
That's what I was.
But can you see Sydney? Can you consider Sydney as a kind of artistic island in Australia, or is the cultural, let's say, knowledge spread over the country?
It's spread. I mean, you know, remember Australia has a number of big cities on the coast and really nothing in the middle. You know, it's empty. It's incredibly beautiful. One of the best highlights of the trip was flying from Brisbane to Perth. I was in Brisbane, Perth, and Sydney. I was in Perth for a conference. I gave a keynote speech in Perth at a conference called the Whammies, Western Australian Music Conference. But as I said, even though Sydney is the main city for culture, there's a tremendous amount of culture in Melbourne and Canberra and Brisbane and Perth, and they all have their own orchestras. So it's an interesting place because it's spread out. It's a very, very big country, as you know. I mean, it takes 4 hours, 4.5 hours to fly across the coast, almost as wide as the U.S. And it's you know, the people who live in between are mostly the indigenous people who still, you know, live in places that are, you know, very, very difficult to live in.
Aboriginal. You know, I would love to play Stefan, your piece Temptation Party, and I want to explain first that the sound system on the switchboard I am on is certainly not concert material, so if it's a little...
No problem. It's just to give a...
Okay.
You know,
all right.
Impression.
Thank you. All right, here we go. I thought it was a little longer than that. I was waiting for more. I just had gotten started.
It's enough to be in the mood and to go to the beach.
I had only begun.
Let's all go to the beach, to L.A. Let's go.
So now this came about, this was something you did that you just added to your new CD, or you did it for the CD? You were inspired, or...
Well, it's the end of the CD. It's the track number 12.
Okay.
And it's just the cherry on the pie here. And I just wanted to give a broad spectrum, a broad output, and so we have very, very romantic tracks and very, you know, like this, this is really party music, and that's why I call it Temptation Party, just with some brass, section, and piano, a lot of percussion in, and so, yeah, that's the atmosphere.
Are you still composing by hand, or do you note, or do you use a software for your composition?
Yeah, I'm old-fashioned, I'm afraid, but I compose still with the pencil, and my publisher gets many times gray hairs for me, because I go to him with, you know, a lot of paper, a lot of things, but it's unclear. Although I try to write as clean as possible, but it's a lot of work, really. You go to the publisher, he needs to bring in everything in the computer. You need to read it again, you know, first reading, and then it goes back, second reading, and then you hope, you pray to God that there are no mistakes anymore in the score. But there's so many notes, there are so many things in the score which you can, you know, you make that you can forget or read over.
Yeah.
And
Wow, that's amazing. You know, to me, just being able to orchestrate like that is quite a different language than most of the people on Earth even could ever do. So I'm quite in awe of that. And
but this is, if you think about just the physical action to write things
mm-hmm.
down, it's so huge of a job. And if you think about Bach and these guys, these wonderful composers who wrote more than 1,500 pieces, compositions,
yeah.
large pieces, if you, the Matthew Passion or the Johannes Passion, there are pieces with a duration of 3 hours. So, and all this orchestration needs to be written down and so on. It's a huge of job. Only to write it down, you need to have one life.
Well, now, when you have this in your head, do you feel like you actually have been extremely influenced by, you know, great composers of the past, Stefan, or would you consider yours just coming seemingly uniquely new?
Well, I'm inspired to by one thing, that's life.
Okay.
And life has so many faces, and there are, you know, I'm really a cosmopolitan person who try to absorb so as much of things as possible, influences, cultural influences. I think we became a child of a global picture of the world, and it's a wonderful time in this moment, because we can, with one click, you can. Behind your computer, you can see a lot of things. You can discover everything. If you look to the TV, you can travel. And so there's all this influence. You can listen to many, many music, a lot of music through the internet. And I was never happy to follow one school, one composition school. It's always dangerous, because if you follow a kind of, you know, strict school of composition,
right.
You eliminate a lot of other things. So I wanted to be free. That's why on the composition field, I only followed master classes, so that I feel myself free and that I can do whatever I want. And I think there are a lot of influences, and I think it's original, because it's me who wrote it, and if other people listen to a few notes of me, they say, ah, that's music from Stefan.
Mm-hmm. That's it. You know, I believe your friend Stella is on the line.
Oh, that's wonderful. Is Robert
there
still also?
Yes.
Yeah. Hello.
I am. Hello.
Hello.
Hello,
yes.
Stella.
Yeah, I am from Chicago.
How are you?
I am great and waiting for you here.
When I bought my introduce her?
Grand piano, thinking of you, Stefan.
Yeah, I can hardly wait to fly to Chicago. Well,
oh, I can't wait to have you here. This is a city for you, for your talent. You're going to feel at home. Well, the whole world is for you, actually.
You see,
but,
Judy,
you know,
she's so wonderful person. She's so wonderful musician. She inspires so many, so many people, and she's a wonderful friend of me.
Now, does she know Robert? Have they met? Or because Robert's on the phone?
No.
No, we should.
Thank you, Joy, for your email. I did not have the time to send you my bio.
I just got it, and I haven't even had a chance to read it. That's why I was kind of going, oh, I hope he does some introduction on you, because you have quite a bio here in music, and I would love for you to share that with us.
Yeah, I'm very grateful to Stefan to always remember me and having me in his thoughts. This is really amazing. I think we have a true spiritual musical partnership and interchange. So we inspire each other. That's true.
You inspire. And you're a lyric opera singer, right?
That's,
am I correct?
Right. Right. More dedicated to the art song repertoire.
All right. So, and you pronounce your last name, is that Brandeo?
Brandon. Very nasal. Brandon.
Brandon.
Close to French. The French R, a little bit close to that.
Close
but
to
it's very, it's a very special of the Portuguese language, this sound.
Oh, okay, Portuguese.
It may be the most difficult sound in our language to be pronounced.
Oh, gosh.
The special nasal sound.
Yeah, Portuguese is extreme. I worked for a Portuguese doctor. I had a little time. But,
everybody
yeah.
needs to study Portuguese now.
You know, Stefan has been to Brazil a couple of times.
Okay.
And he has done a lot for Brazilian music.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. Both in Belgium, in Brazil, and in the U.S. Either accompanying my sister, Rosa Brandão, a most distinguished lyric soprano living in Belgium. And she is an opera singer at La Monet, the opera theater there. That's where you met each other, didn't you?
Yes, we met each other. We had a project in the Royal Opera here in Brussels.
Right.
And while Stella is Rosa is the same as her sister Stella, she's a very warm-hearted person, typical Brazilian, you know, flavor, you know, pili-pili, and a lot of, you know, wonderful, wonderful. And so we started to, beside our project in the Royal Opera, we started to cooperate with each other. And then she asked me, you like Brazilian music? I told her, give me right away this Brazilian music. And so I started to, you know, it is really something what I think the Brazilian music is so rich. And especially, you know, when we speak about Brazilian music, everybody thinks about bossa nova and, you know, samba, or the popular Brazilian music. But if you see what a treasure there is regarding the classical music, it's really wonderful and needs to really to be discovered still in the world. And so I did so many things, a large repertoire, and started to specialize myself in the Brazilian music. I gave a lot of concerts here. We went together to Rio, to São Paulo, to Brasilia. Yes.
And to Carnegie Hall.
And then finally, I, you know, they asked me to write the Amazonas, you know, a tribute to the Amazon forest. They have, because I became already a half Brazilian, and that's why they have chosen a Belgian guy to write a Brazilian piece, you know, for orchestra and piano.
And your picture is actually on the page of you playing the piano at Carnegie Hall.
Yeah, that was a rehearsal there, yes. It
was
amazing.
That was rehearsal, yes. You were not, everybody was very casually dressed, and I thought, I wonder why they're not dressed properly.
That was just rehearsal. And it was so messy, you know, I didn't hear my piece just one day before.
Okay.
So they called me, they told me, you are chosen for to write this piece, but you need to work very fast.
Okay.
So they called me, I think, in end of October, and the premiere was in January 6th. And so I needed to write, you know, the piano, the part, the orchestral part, and so on. And the concert hall was, the Carnegie Hall was completely sold out. You were there, Estella. It was so amazing, no?
And I have even secretly filmed a little bit.
Oh, you secretly filmed?
Yeah.
But, you know, the amazing thing, I think this is a proof of synchronicity and synergy. Because we have been together for a Brazilian recital celebrating the African roots. Remember?
Yes.
September 2006.
Yes.
And the manager of Carnegie Hall. This was in the small hall recital, the Vial Recital Hall. And the manager of the hall, of Carnegie Hall, gave us a tour to the big hall. Oh, and when we finished it, and he said, well, next time you come here. So this was September. In January next year, who was there playing for a full packed sold-out house?
Yeah. And you know what is funny? This guy who told me, you want to have a tour? Yeah, you know, this concert hall is so huge, and the lights were off, and he switched on the light. And then, you know, you are in this, you know, you feel yourself so small in this huge hall. And I told him, well, I think if I could play here once, my life is successful. I don't need anything anymore. And then a few weeks later, they called me, can you play there?
Oh, so it was wonderful. There was your dream. And I noticed, Stella, that you belong to the Foreign Service of Ministry of External Relations of Brazil.
That's true. I am a double life person.
You're like a double agent.
I use two hats.
Okay.
And I navigate in this since already over 30 years.
Okay.
This is how my life unfolded, you know. And when I make my synthesis, that's exactly when I am abroad. When I am working for the Brazilian music.
Of course.
Teaching it, spreading it all over. So I feel I am in a moment of synthesis.
And you have a grand piano waiting for Stefan to come visit you because he forwarded me your email. Am I correct?
Oh, yeah.
He's
such a great guy and one of the few musicians that I know who really, really feel, have, you know, besides all the equipment he has a heart pulsing all the time. He is pure music, Stefan. And one of the few pianists that I know that who was so open to do, for instance, what we did in Carnegie Hall in other occasions, to use the original score of the composers, Villa-Lobos, Guarnieri, so on. But, you know, to allow improvisations, to allow experimentations, to allow new colors like the percussion colors of our colleague Osvaldo Hernandez, the Mexican, wonderful percussionist living in Belgium. So this was so unique, and Stefan adapted to it right away. He was not in that kind of position that I know many musicians are sometimes. No, the untouchables.
Yes.
Right? And Villa-Lobos himself, he was so iconoclastic.
Open. He's very, very open and giving.
That's why Stefan is so open.
That's
so
what
creative.
I love.
So, yeah.
And I want to play another piece of yours, Stefan. Actually, let's see, Fantasy. Would that be a good one?
Fantasy, but that's the piano solo piece, but it's not on the my record project. But
oh, it's not.
Go,
okay. Well,
but it's nice. Go
it
on.
I love it. I thought, so if that's all right, I did upload it. I'll go ahead and play that.
Wow.
Thank you for allowing me. I know that was recorded live. Am I correct, Stefan?
Yes, it's a live recording in a very beautiful castle, not so far from here, from the 19th century. It's a wonderful place, you know, wooden floor, beautiful windows, a lot of glass also. And it was during a concert that, you know, I thought, well, I played this and they recorded, and that's what you hear here now.
And of course,
without editing, it's just live.
Yeah, it's just absolutely live. Robert, I don't want to leave you out. I feel rude and want you to be able to pop in and say anything you might want to say or share.
It's a beautiful recording. That's all I'm here.
Yeah, I know. It's wept into his music. It's just so
and at some point I would like to meet Stella too, so we can be in touch after all this.
Oh yes, and if Robert if Stefan, can you connect the two of them with the emails, and I'll be glad to do the same.
Yeah, it's so wonderful, Robert, that you were in the show. Really, it was so nice to hear you once more. I had so wonderful memories, your help, your devotion, everything, and I think you are doing very challenging things now with the lyrics, with the language, and so on. So I hope so much it will work out for you.
Yeah.
Oh, it will. Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah. It's fun to work with you as well. It's been great. So.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate all of you being on the show today. And I'm going to, Stella, I really appreciate you. I'm so sorry I didn't have more time to study what you sent me. I just got it the minute I... But I'm going to look over it very closely. You're just delightful, and
I enjoyed it very much, and I love your logo.
Oh, thank you, thank you.
Very, very inspiring logo. Oh, the heart pouring out lights like this. Beautiful, beautiful
thank
logo.
Thank you, thank you. And
you know, Californians are all, you know, like kind of connected to another dimension.
Yeah,
like,
it seems
like
that way sometimes. Yeah, it's our own little gaga world, especially San Francisco.
I love California.
Yeah, it's really a fun place. I am.
So much wisdom
it.
Coming from there.
Now you're Chicago.
Now, right? I do. Yeah, Chicago too. But I do feel that the true encounter of East and West, the philosophical spiritual encounter, took place in California.
In California.
They are spreading all over.
Yeah. It's
yeah, pay attention, because the first yogis, they came and settled in California. Yogananda, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
So the encounter of East and West, the wisdom of East and West, they met, you know, they took place ground in California. Now we have all the advances in psychology and, you know, and so on and so forth.
Absolutely. And I know that Los Angeles is considered a vortex. I think it is the heart vortex. I'm not really knowledgeable too much with all that, but I've heard a little bit here and there, and that's one of the major vortexes, spiritual vortexes of the country. But I'm going to end our show with the theme song that Stefan composed. It's the beginning, and I love the ending as well, so it's hard for me to choose. But it's absolutely beautiful. I just can't get enough of it. So
you know what is for the listener, maybe it was a huge challenge to work in a studio. I never had worked before in a studio because I'm educated as a classical composer, pianist. But then I got from my friend this opportunity. He told me, well, if you like, I build a studio for you, but you need to do everything from A to Z by yourself. So I wrote the pieces, I played them, and I edited them, and I mastered them. So I did a whole trip by myself, and that was so, inspiring and so big lesson for me. And it learned me also, it teached me also to, to listen to the other side, to learn from the other side, from you know, the amazing world of technology and so on. And if we can bring them together, that would be wonderful. And I think Robert is the same idea.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I didn't know you had to do the whole thing yourself. So someone actually built the studio, and then you had to, oh, my gosh, wow.
Yeah, it was like a play garden. Just he opened the door of the play garden. I needed to run in, and I came out when I was finished.
You were finished. Boy, what a finish you get. And actually, these are both available for listening to on your is it Lucky B, www.lucky, L-U-C-K-Y, records, R-E-C-O-R-D-S dot
B-E. It's from Belgium, yes.
Yes, and then you can click on the downloads, and you can listen to them there. And they'll be a better quality, I'm sure, than this one. But
The quality is quite good there, and you can
see
a few video clips and so on, so...
And I look forward to actually going to an opera by Stéphane Mallard in the future and some ballets. I see that coming. And
yeah.
I do. I don't you, Stella? I see him in this opera very easily. And that happens to be my favorite thing is opera. So here we go. And thank you all. Have a great evening.
Thank you so much that we were able to be in your show.
Thank you, Stéphane.
Thank you.
Stella,
thank you,
and
too.
Robert.
Bye-bye.
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 Appreciate it. Bye.
Bye.